Welcome to the Truman Charities Podcast. I'm Jamie Truman, your host. Honduras has more child sex abuse than any other country in Latin America. 96% of all sexual abuse in Honduras goes unreported because there is a fear of retaliation, because they don't have the infrastructure and police force to help back its citizens. What can we do to help these girls? I spoke with the founder of Casa de Abby, Michael Vinson. Michael and his wife, Karen, were on a mission trip and came across three girls who had been abused and needed a stable home. They created a home for girls who had been victims of sexual abuse. This home is called Casa de Abby. I speak with Michael about the reality of what it is like to grow up in Honduras as a girl, how those three girls changed the course of their lives, the new state-of-the-art home they are building so they can help more girls, and how you can help. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Michael as much as I did. Michael, thank you so much for coming on to talk with me today.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
You know, you and your wife have really accomplished so much in your journey. I'm so interested about your journey of how you were in the States and now you have created this wonderful organization in Honduras and you're helping all of these women. So tell me how that even happened.
Well, sometimes I wonder myself, to be honest with you, but to go back a little bit, back in 2005, my wife Karen and I went to South Africa, and we just fell in love with short-term missions and really the continent of Africa. So we had done every year for 10 years, we had done, or 9 years, we had done 10 trips to Africa, Kenya, Uganda, South Africa, and was sponsoring a school in the slums and kids. And God was calling us to full-time missions. So we just thought it would be in Kenya where we were investing. And just that door shut, and God opened the door at the same time in Guanaja, Honduras. And I know you're going to say, where is Guanaja, Honduras? It is a small island in the Caribbean, about 40 miles off the north coast of Honduras.
Okay.
It's really close to Roatan that a lot of people's heard of, but Guanaja is remote. It's the opposite of Roatan, very little tourism. And God just opened a door for us to go there and be his light and help children with medical care, clothes, food, just however we could be used.
Okay. So when you first got there, you were helping with so you hadn't started your organization yet.
No, we had our nonprofit here in the States.
Okay.
That we are under. We have our own, you know, nonprofit, but we did not have our NGO, our non-governmental organization in Honduras. We had not established Casa de Abby. That was not in the plans. I like to tell people jokingly that if I knew that God had this in store for us, we would have been a little more like Jonah running the other way. But we went there to help out a devastated people group on this island, and 3 miles of road, very little infrastructure, grocery store. It was like going back in time 40 years.
Mm-hmm. And so how did Casa de Abby come about?
Well, we were there and we've been there about a year and a half. We moved to Honduras, to this island, in the summer of 2015. So now it's January of 2017. And we were doing a school uniform drive because the school year starts in 1st of February through November in Honduras, more like a calendar school year. And we were helping out the poor with school uniforms. And these three girls just walked up and out of nowhere. And they were in just ragged clothes, dirty. We kind of asked around, does anybody know these girls? And, you know, in Honduras, it's sort of I see nothing, I hear nothing, I say nothing. And nobody really knew anything about them. So me and my wife took them in our home. And it didn't take long before we started building a relationship with them. Nobody knew about them. And they had been trafficked and were being sexually abused.
And how old were these girls?
They were 9, 6, and 3.
Oh my gosh. So young.
So young. They had never seen toilet paper before. The 9-year-old couldn't count to 5 in Spanish. No education. They just They're still with us today, 7 years later. And, you know, it took us 6 years to get them birth papers. We don't even know where they came from.
Oh, okay. And so what were your kind of first steps? You meet these girls and you bring them into the home. And then where did you go from there?
Well, when we went from there, the authorities on the island did not really want to give us any, they were not cooperating with us. Matter of fact, the doors kind of shut when these girls came into our possession. And we didn't know what, you know, to do with them. We were caring for them and we were loving on them. So talking with a lawyer and another non-governmental specialist that works in this field, we flew a psychologist that works with children in sexual abuse to the island. And she interviewed him and she said, it's really bad. We need to get you to some authority. So we traveled to Tegucigalpa, the capital, and took these girls into the children's services. It's like DFACS here. And said, we have these three girls and, you know, we want to hand them over to you. They've been through horrible things. And the next day we had to go to the forensic hospital for the girls to be examined by psychologists, psychiatrists, and a physical examination. And children's services asked if we would keep them. And we were like, keep them? And they said, well, matter of fact, you know, we need a home to help more girls like this. And I would like to say that we prayed about it, but we didn't. We just felt that if God's word of helping the least of these, our heart and the circumstances all line up, it must be God's will. So we started the process of developing an NGO in a non-governmental organization in Honduras and establishing corporate bank accounts that are very hard to do. And we just had favor. Just everything just fell in place for us. And by August of 2018, we had not only the NGO, but we were approved by the children's services there. And they started placing more children with us.
Wow. So, you know what? I want to talk a little bit, and you mentioned this on your website, the widespread problem of sex abuse and trafficking in Honduras. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, Honduras has more child sexual abuse than any country in Latin America. One of the reasons is poverty, lack of education. 1 out of 5 adults earn less than $1.90 a day. You know, you wonder why so many people are wanting to come to the States now. It's pretty devastating down there. The economy, the crime, you know, they're just looking for a better life. So poverty is a lack of education, generational. This has gone on. 87% of all victims of child sexual abuse are girls. And about 95% of it happens within the family. So, you know, you just have these dysfunction of families that are broken down, living in poverty, living in pain. And then you also have the lack of governmental support. 96% of every child sexual abuse that is reported goes unprosecuted. The government really, really, really say they want to do something, but they don't. People know this. And then also, people fear retaliation because there's so lack of security there. If you report something, now you make yourself vulnerable. Gangs and women do not have the same rights here. Maybe they have the same rights, but it's not practiced.
Right.
Women, they have a saying down here called femicide, where the going rate for a murder on a woman is less than $20. So people just do not want to report things because they know the government's not going to do anything. And now they've made themselves vulnerable. So most cases go unreported. So it just, that's the main reason. Plus we have greed, cartels, you know, drug trafficking. And now child sexual abuse, child trafficking is becoming an industry almost as big as drug trafficking, where drugs are consumed one time and gone. A child can be used over and over and over. So there's actually more profit in child trafficking than there is drug trafficking now, if I know.
Wow. Yeah, when you explain it, that makes sense. And it also makes sense of why it's not reported, because you don't have the infrastructure and the police force and the government to be backing you after you talk about what's happened. So I want to talk a little bit about, so you now have how many girls with you?
We have 11 girls with us.
Okay.
And we rescued 13. Our girls are all permanent residents. They can't be reintegrated because the crimes against them are pretty bad, and they just don't have a safe place to be reintegrated to. So these girls have been with us. Most have been with us, the three originals, since 17. We did have a new girl come in just about a month and a half ago, 15 years old, beautiful young lady, and really has a lot of gratitude. So we have 11 right now.
Wow. And so tell me, how are you finding these girls that need help?
Well, most of them come through the government.
Okay.
Yeah, they place them with us because of the crimes. We're kind of a safe house, so we don't mind taking the girls to court, taking the forensic hospital. Since we have small girls, we really invest in them. And I like to back up, if I have just a few moments, sure, to share another problem that we have in Honduras with the sexual abuse. We have the problem of the girls being hurt, but there's also a flip side of, what do you do with a girl once you find out they have been hurt? And that's very complicated. You know, with sexual abuse, the body heals pretty quick, but the mental and emotional state takes a lifetime to overcome. You know, their worldview, the way they deal with their emotions and their negative thoughts and stuff can sometimes be very difficult for them, and they get very frustrated. We do provide, we have an on-staff psychologist. We always have. We do Christian counseling, and some of our girls see a psychiatrist and need medicine. But even in that, there's very, very little resources here to help these girls, or boys, to help children or adults to overcome. There's very little programs within the government and within society to specialize in helping them overcome the trauma, the post-traumatic stress disorder, and these other things they struggle with, you know, just life. If you've been abused at 2-3 years old and you're in your landscaping stage and you should be learning language and you're going through this, it brings a lot of complications. They filter everything in their life through sex. And it's a long process of healing and overcoming. And we just don't have a lot of resources to help them.
So how are the three girls, the original girls that you took in, how are they doing now since you said they've been with you 7 years?
Two are doing great. They're actually, all three of them are actually me and my wife's foster children. The oldest one was 9. Unfortunately, she ran away, and she loves us. She actually texted us this week, you know, how much she loves us. But, you know, she was 9 when she came to us. She's the only girl that's run away. The police have called her and brought her back, and she's run away again. They put her in another home, and she ran away from that. She just has so much pain and deals with so much mental crisis, you know, mental health issues, that she finds more peace on the street. So one is not doing well, even though she's still in contact with us, and two are doing great.
I'm glad to hear about the two girls that are doing so well. So I want to know, what is sort of, when they become adults, what is the plan then for these girls?
Well, because we only have, you know, 11 girls, we're going to have a transition. Mm-hmm. A girl, especially leaving a children's home worldwide, is 10 times more likely to go into prostitution. And that's without the sexual abuse part of it. So we understand that the transition is going to be a long-term process. Our first girl is transitioning out in April. It'd be our first one, but she's staying with us. She is just finished her first course. I got this certificate today. I'm actually in the States. I just came in Saturday night. I'm at my mother and father's home. But I got a copy of the certificate sent today of her completion. Our cook is working with her, doing online classes. We got a whole transition. She's going to be doing it there. Now, every girl, we're going to try to do a transition that caters to their needs. So we have a few that will be coming up in a few years that will definitely be going to the university. They do very well in school. And so we're probably, you know, look at renting a safe apartment in the city of Tegucigalpa, and I'll share a little bit more about that in a minute, and, you know, providing them with a staff member, a part-time staff member to check in on them, and build that. But we're looking at a long-term transition for each one of them. And as long as they're doing the right thing and in school and working part-time, we'll provide a place if it's to 23, 24, 25 years old. Mm-hmm.
I do love that your outlook on this is, as you said, the main thing I kind of grabbed from that was that all of these girls are different. So we're going to help them based on their needs and what they're going to flourish in. So I really do love that. And you did mention you wanted to kind of go back into the city and speak a little bit about that.
Well, this is exciting. We have last 6 years, we've rented homes in the city of Tegucigalpa. That is the capital city of about 1.5 million people in a very crowded area. So we've lived behind walls and barbed wire and had very little green space. Well, a couple of years ago, we started a capital campaign and we raised the funds to pay outright for 9 acres of property in about an hour outside of the city. We've built a girl's home, a small girl's home for the 7 of the girls, a home for me and my wife and our 2 foster girls. And the 2 oldest, that one is transitioned out, you know, they live in a bedroom and the 2 foster kids live in a bedroom. So we have 4 living with us. And then we built kind of a bodega type building style. That's a barn, but it's furnished, you know, and it's got, that's where we have school, chapel, art. We eat there. We cook out of it. My offices are in there. So we've moved out of the city. Me and my wife have bought some horses. And we're starting horse therapy. And that's maybe there's one other horse therapy in all of Honduras. I know it's pretty big here. Mm-hmm. So we're learning too. We're learning about horses. And, you know, we haven't really even started riding them yet. We're just grooming them every day and building relationships with them and realizing that a horse is a little more complicated than a dog, you know. And but there's so much fun. It brings healing in my life. I get worked up. I just go out and spend time with the horses, and it's great. So we have 3 horses. One of them we found out on Thursday, she's pregnant. Oh. We have mated. She's a full-blooded Peruvian Paso, mated with an Espanol. That's a bigger horse that they call an Americano. So it's going to be a nice horse. We're trying to do it right. So that's part of, I think you were going to ask a little bit about our future.
Yeah.
It's horse therapy. And another part is this year, we're just going to focus on being content with what God's given us and our wonderful donors. I mean, we just moved in December, but we're working on a drawing to build a children's home that's more state of the art so we can bring more children in the future.
Okay. And so what do you mean by more state of the art?
Well, you know, we've always just rented homes. So just like you rent a home and it's got a bedroom and bathrooms and a little, you know, a big living room, a nice commercial kitchen so we can teach culinary, a safe room, a padded room when a girl goes in a crisis that, you know, with a staff member, myself can just, you know, with a camera in there, we have cameras that we can go in and sit with them and they can't hurt themselves or hurt others or hurt property, you know, and girls that struggle with to have crisis moments. And boy, I wish we've had one in the past, you know, because if you can, you know, not have to touch them, they're going to calm down quicker. But when they're in a total crisis, sometimes we have to gently as we can keep them in control. So what I mean by state of art is to be able to really, not technology wise, but be able to meet our needs if a girl's in a crisis or we want to do commercial kitchen, cooking. We want to all watch TV in one room together. You know, that's been a challenge for us. So this is going to have a brick wall playground in this home inside that. So it's kind of like a fence inside of a fence just for more security. So that's kind of what we're looking at.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense when you explain it. But also, yes, the commercial kitchen, I didn't think about that. That will be a huge one for you. Yeah. That'll be great. And I want to know, first off, how can people help your organization? And then also, how are those donations allocated within your organization?
Okay. The best way to help is share about our ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're watching this and you feel led, usually a personal friend can be the best salesperson, you know, and because to share about our ministry, pray for our ministry, and of course, give to our ministry are the best ways. you know, us being in Honduras, we don't really have anything set up here to really help outside of those ways at this time. As far as how things are allocated, we have our own sending agency. So we have two board members that handle all the administration here. They volunteer. I'm the only North American that's paid anything by our organization, and I live full-time in Honduras. My wife volunteers, so I have a salary. We just live together. So 94% out of every dollar goes directly to Honduras, to our home. Only 4% is used here in the States for administrative stamps, sending out thank you letters, whatever. So 94 cents out of every dollar goes to Honduras. So
that's very impressive.
We're in complete compliance in both Honduras and the United States. With our capital campaign, we have two separate checking accounts. So it's never mixed. If you give to a capital campaign, a project, it never goes into funds with the general operating expenses. Same with Honduras. We'll do international transfers. If it's for the building fund, it goes to the building account. So we have two different books, and we try to be accountable for every dollar raised.
So let everybody know how they can reach you guys.
Okay.
How they can follow you.
Well, our website is CASA, C-A-S-A, Day, D-E, Abby, A-B-B-Y.com. CasaDayAbby.com is our website. So you can find out a lot of information there. You can give there. And my email is michael@casadeabby.org.
You know what I forgot to ask you is, how did you come up with that name?
Well, Abigail, and Abby is short for Abigail, is the Hebrew meaning of the joy of the Father. And even though these girls have been abused by men and have a lack of trust in men, I've tried to show them personally what a father and a husband is supposed to look like. And I also want to point and say that, you know, no matter where you've come from, you are the joy of the Father God, just as much as anyone. He is not a respecter of persons. He loves the poor. So we just really want to just share the love of the Father and lavish it on them. So that's how we came up with it.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. You know, Michael, before I let you go, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think, you know, people should know?
Well, I really just believe if it's with our ministry or somewhere in the States, I just want to encourage people to defend the poor, the outcast, the broken. Be an advocate at some level for this epidemic of child sexual abuse that's happening worldwide. And I don't understand how and why. It seems like it would be on front and center, but it's not. So, you know, on just a level, I've dealt with children firsthand. Me and my wife live with them that struggle with this. And we had no idea the depth of the pain and hurt and brokenness in these children. You know, we just thought we could love them and provide for them and care for them and do fun things together, teach them to swim and hike and ride bicycles, and it'd be okay. Well, as much as they want it to be okay, it's more than that. They're broken. It takes years of patience and grace. So I would just say, if some level, somewhere, if people can get involved and pray for this epidemic, pray for the end of it, for rescues. And I'm not trying to, you know, we could use help, but, you know, if there's something closer to your area that you have a heart for, you know, I just like to share, to get involved as some way. As far as us, we're just really blessed. Me and my wife are still just, it's all happened so fast. And God just had a purpose for us that we didn't know about. And we just feel blessed and honored and wouldn't trade it for anything. And, you know, girls call me dad and my wife, mom. And, you know, we just feel very blessed that God would see us to be stewards of children's lives.
Yeah, I have to say, you and Karen, you are doing God's work. I mean, we are so blessed to have people like you that are helping these girls. So we want to thank you so much for everything that you do and for your listening. Don't worry, all of the information that you need, the website, how to contact Michael and his organization is in the show notes for you. So Michael, I want to thank you again so much for coming on here and telling me about your work. It is absolutely amazing what you and your wife have taken on. It's your life's work and mission to help these girls. And we need more people like you and Karen. We really do. So I want to thank you again for coming on, okay? And I want to thank everyone for listening to another episode of the Truman Charities Podcast. Until next time. If you liked this episode, please make sure to rate and review our podcast. That is how more people learn about the Truman Charities Podcast and our organization. And to make sure you don't miss any of our future episodes, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. If you'd like to follow Truman Charities, you can follow us on Facebook at Truman Charities, Instagram at Jamie_Truman Charities, and check out our website, trumancharities.com.